Nos atiende quien fuera el jefe de seguridad de los Estados Unidos bajo el gobierno de Donald Trump. Me refiero a John Bolton. Mr. Bolton, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
What's going to happen in Pennsylvania?
Well, that's the $64 question. I can't recall a presidential election in my experience that's as close as this one, and I don't think at this point anybody can really predict, and it could be from an electoral college point of view. It could go all the way from Harris winning most or all of the battleground states to Trump winning most or all of the battleground states. So could be a very long night or several days before we know.
In terms of security of the Middle East problem, which candidate is more convenient for the United States searching for a peace scenario, Mr. Trump or Mrs. Harris?
Well, I think Harris will almost certainly carry forward the policies of the Biden administration. She doesn't have much background in national security issues, and so what she's learned during the course of her tenure as vice president. So I think it's perfectly natural to predict that she'd look a lot like a second Biden term, at least for some period of time. I mean, she'll bring on her own advisors, and events in the world will move things along. But for some foreseeable period, a year, let's say, she'll look a lot like Biden. Trump really is anybody's guess. You know, he has said without proof that if he had been president, neither the war in Ukraine nor the war in the Middle East would have taken place, and he will solve both of them very quickly. I think that's a lot easier said than done. I think Trump's real focus, what he wants to do, is focus on domestic issues, the economy, the border with Mexico, crime. These will have been, in his mind, the issues that get him elected. So I don't think necessarily that he'll look at some of these foreign policy questions immediately, unless circumstances in the world require it.
Mr. Trump, I would like to know, we've heard Donald Trump saying crooked Hillary, sleepy Joe, fat Jerry, horse face. What kind of risks do these types of comments have for the electoral debate?
Well, I think it's contributing to the breakdown of civil discourse in our country. It's not the way politicians should behave. I don't think this is just a dispute about Trump's personality. I think it goes to his basic fitness to lead. I think an American president has to be able to overcome thinking about his own personal interest and the interest of his supporters, and has to think in terms of the national interest. Some people do that better than others. I think Ronald Reagan thought in terms of the national interest. I think people like Dwight Eisenhower, Harry Truman, Franklin Roosevelt thought about the national interest. That's not how Trump thinks, and it's I think if he is elected, we'll still have a lot of turmoil domestically. I think he'll try to take retribution against his political opponents. It won't be happy. And let me just say, I'm not sure it's necessarily going to be better with Harris. I don't plan to vote for either one of them.
Now that you mentioned that, of course, you were a part of the Trump team at some point, and now you're not. And some people that were a part of his team are now calling him a fascist. Would you go as far as to call him that?
Well, I think to be a real fascist, you have to have a philosophy, and philosophy just isn't something that Trump does. I think his actions, rather than get hung up on a particular word, it's his actions, I think, are corrosive, are destructive. I think the kind of chaos we saw and the willingness to push limits beyond where they should be pushed, exemplified by January the 6th, I think we're going to see all that again in the second Trump term if he wins. That's one very disturbing factor. We're in a very highly partisan period in American politics. And look, these periods come and go. It's not the end of the world. But we'd be better off if we were able to talk to the other side of the political divide more. I just don't think that's how Trump operates.
Mr. Bolton, thank you for sharing your perspective. Would you agree with Olivia Troy, who also served in the Trump administration, that Mr. Trump shares some of the tweets and admires some of the strong leaders. And how would you characterize being close to him, a person who refuses to accept the results of an election and the civilities that that shows with people like Maduro, who's in power, not just because of a legitimate election, but just because they're forcing the system?
Well, I think it's very dangerous. I don't consider Trump an existential threat to democracy. I think our country is stronger than that. Our Constitution is stronger than that. But he's certainly going to do damage, as he did in the first term. And I do think he has an affinity for strongmen leaders, people like Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong Un. I mean, he said he and Kim fell in love when they were talking with each other, and I think other authoritarian leaders around the world, like Maduro, can see that. I'm very worried what this time, if Trump is elected, he may try and make a deal with Maduro. I mean, I think that's a fool's errand, but it would have been better if we had done a better job in overthrowing the Maduro dictatorship. But Trump does have an affinity with strongmen, and he thinks that if he has a good relationship with a foreign leader personally, that translates into good relationships between the United States and that foreign country. That's not the way it works. I think these other leaders see the weakness of his character, and they think they can take advantage of him, and they'll try and do it, starting with Putin, but going right down to Maduro, too.
Mr. Bolton, let me ask you about the national security issue regarding immigration. You're a national security expert. Do you view the policies of this administration as a success with respect to the vetting of criminal and national security threats? And are you concerned that if Ms. Harris is elected, that they'll return to the policies they recently changed and have again an unsecure border?
Well, I am worried about it. I mean, there are two issues here to me. One is the immigration question. Let me come back to that for a second. The other, though, is criminal gangs, drug cartels, and others that use openness on the southern border to get their drugs into the country. And for foreign countries that are hostile to us, perhaps China, perhaps Russia, perhaps others, smuggling potentially weapons of mass destruction in, bringing agents in to conduct clandestine activities against us. This is a real national security issue, I think. On immigration itself, I personally favor significantly increasing legal immigration, because I think the country is we're almost 350 million people now. That sounds like it's a big country, but we're still only a quarter of the size, roughly, of India or China. And I think we are stronger with more people who can help us in an increasingly competitive economic environment. But the deal is we get to decide when the people come in and in what order. And illegal immigrants coming in, no matter across what border or through airports, are jumping the line. And it's unfair to the people who have followed the process and are waiting their time to come in, waiting for residents in the country to become citizens. That's what we ought to be trying to correct. And it's not simply a question of stopping illegal immigrants. I think many of the people who come across Mexico now illegally would be legitimate immigrants if they just wait their turn like everybody else everywhere in the world.
Mr. Bolton, please, how can you say how real will be the end of the conflict with Ukraine with the proposal of Donald Trump if he wins the elections?
Well, I'm very worried about that. I think Trump has said he would get Zelensky and Putin in a room together and they'd solve the problem in 24 hours. That simply will not happen. It's much more complex than that, but Donald Trump never fails. Therefore, it won't be his fault that they didn't reach agreement. It'll be Zelensky's fault or Putin's fault. And here, this affinity that he has for authoritarians, I think, works in favor of Putin. Unfortunately, works against Zelensky and Ukraine. This Ukraine conflict is not simply a European conflict. We have reports today, statements from the government of Ukraine, that for the first time they engaged with North Korean troops in Russia in the past 24 hours. The Ukrainians, of course, have had an offensive into the Kursk province in Russia, and it was at somewhere on that battlefield that this occurred. This is an unbelievable situation that the Russians have brought North Koreans to fight in Europe, and it shows how conflicts and threats all around the world can work together here. So what happens in Ukraine will not just be a matter between Russia and Ukraine. People in Beijing and in other capitals like Tehran will look at how the United States performs, and if they think that we're not prepared to defend an innocent country, a friend of the United States, if we're not prepared to defend them from unprovoked aggression, what do they think we'll do in Asia if Taiwan is threatened or other countries are threatened?
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Bolton, for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure having you today on our show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Bueno, para resumir lo que ha dicho John Bolton, ex asesor de Seguridad Nacional de los Estados Unidos durante la administración Trump, iniciamos preguntándole qué pasará en Pensilvania. Dice que no recuerda unas elecciones tan reñidas como esta. Nadie puede predecir lo que va a pasar, si va a ganar Harris o va a ganar Donald Trump en este estado. Para él hay que esperar unos días para saber realmente qué va a pasar con Pensilvania. En cuanto a Medio Oriente, ¿qué candidato es más conveniente? Dice que pues Harris va a seguir adelante con la política de Joe Biden. No tiene mucha experiencia en este tema de seguridad nacional, ha aprendido lo que ha hecho como vicepresidenta en los últimos años, así que pues él puede predecir que lo que va a hacer Harris es lo mismo que ha venido haciendo Biden, al menos por unos años, y luego pues tendrá sus asesores y encontrará su propio camino, pero inicialmente es el mismo camino que hemos visto de la administración Biden. Trump ha dicho sin pruebas que si él llega a ganar la presidencia, pues esas guerras en primer lugar no hubieran ocurrido si él fuera presidente, ni la de Ucrania ni la de Medio Oriente se hubieran llevado a cabo, y él pues cree que puede acabar con estas guerras muy rápido, pero él nos puede decir que el foco de Donald Trump es más los temas domésticos, la economía dentro de los Estados Unidos, la frontera de México. Esos serán los asuntos a los que Donald Trump le dará prioridad. No cree necesariamente pues que estas guerras sean, digamos, tan importantes para Donald Trump, aunque si es urgente, pues le dará pues el trabajo que se merece. Y sobre los comentarios ofensivos que ha hecho Trump, que ha subido pues el tono de la campaña, dice que pues eso contribuye a lo que está pasando dentro de los Estados Unidos, nos dice que un político debe saber cómo comportarse, nos dice que un presidente debe pensar mucho más allá de sus intereses personales y de pues los que lo apoyan. Entonces hay otros ejemplos de presidentes como Ronald Reagan, Harry Truman, que pensaron en el interés nacional. No es el caso para él de Donald Trump, no piensa así. Entonces nos dice que esto puede traer un caos interno, un caos doméstico, va a empezar a atacar a sus oponentes, a las personas que no estén de acuerdo con él. Dice que de pronto con Harris no será mejor, porque por eso no va a votar por ninguno. Con respecto a que llamen fascista a Donald Trump, nos dice que si él iría tan lejos y lo llamaría así, dice que para ser fascista hay que tener, digamos, unos términos o un pensamiento filosófico. No cree que esa filosofía esté en el pensamiento de Donald Trump, más bien son las acciones las que les preocupa, que son bastante destructivas, como lo que vimos el 6 de enero. También nos dice que es muy preocupante si vemos un segundo término de Donald Trump, pues va a ser un periodo difícil, y pues Donald Trump no opera, digamos, con esa, digamos, tranquilidad. Nos dice que le preocupa más sus actos destructivos que pueden llevar a un segundo periodo. También le preguntan sobre su admiración por ciertos líderes, digamos, en el mundo, que son autócratas o que no son democráticos, y las dificultades que esto implica. Dice que lo considera peligroso, es una amenaza para la democracia. Cree que el país como tal, los Estados Unidos, es bastante fuerte, tiene una constitución bastante fuerte, y de pronto no se daña en ese sentido, pero sí piensa que es dañino tener, digamos, cierta afinidad como líderes autoritarios como Vladimir Putin, como Kim Jong-un, por ejemplo, o como Maduro incluso, que pues pueden pensar que él tiene un carácter débil y aprovecharse de eso, desde comenzando por Putin y siguiendo hasta Maduro, sobre los temas de seguridad nacional, de inmigración y todas estas políticas que pueden ocurrir durante una administración de Donald Trump. Dice que le preocupa el tema de la inmigración bastante, porque uno, está los criminales y carteles de la droga que se están, digamos, aprovechando en la frontera del país con México para poder meter y contrabandear todo lo que quieran, desde drogas hasta armas, por ejemplo, como lo hace China. Y entonces ese problema cree que es un problema bastante grande de seguridad. También está el tema de inmigración, sobre todo le preocupa la inmigración ilegal de esas personas que entran en el país sin seguir el trámite, y pues es injusto para él que esas personas que no sigan las reglas afecte a esas que sí, que siguen el proceso legal. Él está de acuerdo con la inmigración legal, él cree que eso puede ayudar a los Estados Unidos, así que por eso él cree que, digamos, el foco debe ser en tratar a esos inmigrantes que entran ilegalmente por la frontera de México. Y al final le preguntábamos mucho más a fondo sobre la guerra con Ucrania y dice que le preocupa mucho esto de que Trump haga en la guerra con Rusia, porque pues él ha dicho que va a acabar en 24 horas con la guerra, que va a sentar a Zelensky y a Putin, y si no pasa, pues va a decir que no es su culpa, que es culpa de ellos. Entonces este conflicto sí le preocupa bastante porque ya ha traspasado las fronteras de Europa, ya vemos la participación de soldados norcoreanos que incorporó Rusia, y por eso él cree que es bastante preocupante, porque si los otros países del mundo ven que no han hecho nada para los Estados Unidos ayudar a su amigo, como lo es Ucrania, pues qué va a pasar en Taiwán, en Asia y con otros países que pues pasen por una situación similar.